Right, we entered into the to a very unusual sugya, unusual subject, the subject of Galus HaDibur, exile of speech. To be able to understand the significance of the Aseres HaDibros, Dibur, the Koach HaDibur, the ability to speak, and what is the meaning of speech that comes from the ruach, from the lave that connects the higher and lower realms of the human being. So last week we spoke about the difference between the 10 ma'amaros and the 10 dibros, and that right before the Torah would be given, the power of speech would have to go through the darkest exile, the greatest challenge to its existence, following the rule that Bereshit Chashucha V'Hada Nahara, that before any light, before anything new can come to the world, there has to be destruction of the previous order of things. So in Mitzrayim there was a terrible Galus HaDibur, and we saw that that's what the Zohar Kodesh said, that even after Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, don't worry, me some Pela Adam, I gave you a mouth, I'm the one who created the ability to speak, I'll take care of it. We see that Moshe Rabbeinu was still saying, Vani Aral Sfasayim, I can't speak. And the Zohar interprets that to mean, Moshe Rabbeinu said that although I have a voice, there's a kol, but I can't connect my dibur to the kol. In other words, the issue is not just that Moshe Rabbeinu has a speech impediment. There's a situation that's called by the Zohar Galus HaDibur. And we have to try to understand what is the nature of Galus HaDibur, to talk about that today. Really, since Moshe Rabbeinu was the mouthpiece of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it should have been, as it says with Hashem, Chen Yedvar Yesheyetzim Yipi Lo Yeshuv Elai Reikam, that the way it's supposed to be is that when the Baruch Shalom says something, it reaches the place where it's supposed to go. When Hashem says something, Lo Yeshuv Elai Reikam, when Hashem speaks, the words are supposed to be heard. And yet the words are not being heard in Mitzrayim. And Moshe Rabbeinu can't speak, and if whatever he says, no one's listening. So let's understand. First, the problem. It says in the beginning of Shmos, Vayhi bayom harab mahem, vayom asmalach Mitzrayim, vayenchu bnei Yisrael min ha'avayda, that after the death of the king of Egypt, the Jewish people sighed. They gave a krechs because of the slavery. V'yizaku, and they scream, v'tal shavosim, and their cry went up to Halukim, to Hashem, and Ha'avoda. V'yishma Halukim es na'akosim, and Hashem heard their outcry, their scream. V'yizkar Halukim es briso, and Hashem remembered it, the covenant that he had made. So we see at the very beginning of the description of the Galus, of the exile of Mitzrayim, we see Anocha, Asai, Zaka, Scream, Shava, the exact translation. There's a whole sefer written by the Be'er Ma'ayim Chaim called Shara Tfila, where he has in Chassidus and Kabbalah explanations of the differences between all these terms, Zaka, Shava, Rina, all these are words of davening. So it says these words, Anocha, Za'aka, screaming, Shava, yelling, Naka, but there's no tefillah. There's no tefillah, there's no prayer. There's no davening going on at the beginning of Shmos. And people are being tortured. Nobody's davening. People are screaming and yelling in Havoda from the slavery, the work. Now very often in Tanakh you'll have this term Vayizaku b'nei Yisrael, or Vayitzaku b'nei Yisrael, that the Jewish people screamed or they cried. But it will always be followed with the words El Hashem. And they screamed to Hashem. They screamed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Vayitzaku El Hashem. Like we say, according to the tradition of Baal Shem, before Shabbos we say the capital Kofei in Tehillim, Vayitzaku El Hashem Batzar Lahem. They screamed to Hashem in their narrow, difficult place and v'chulu. This you have all over Tanakh, Vayitzaku El Hashem. It was this screaming, and the screaming is a tefillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's very common. But Shmos doesn't begin in such a way. The Golos of Mitzrayim is described Vayizaku, Vayitzaku, Vatal Shavosem, and Akosam, Vayeonchu, screaming and crying and yelling. It never says El Hashem. It doesn't say El Hashem, to Hashem. So the tzaddikim say that it sounds like more like someone who's just screaming, like a tortured animal. Just yelling and screaming and making sounds. Horrible cries and outcries, screaming, but there's no articulate tefillah. None of the anguish, none of the suffering is put none of the anguish is transformed into a proper tefillah to daven for Yeshua. It all comes in the way of screaming and cursing and yelling. These are the words of one of the Talmidim of Rab Tzadik, Rabbi Tzvi Margolis, the author of the Keren Ayira. Haine shalai nizka shum tefillah b'tzakosam. We don't see the mention of any tefillah in their outcry, in their screaming. Rak tzaka levad. Just a scream. K'ma shakosav tzak liba mel Hashem. We find in Eicha a fascinating term. Tzak liba mel Hashem, that the heart screamed out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're going to come back. We saw a little bit from Rabbi Nachman of the Baal Shem Tov, the idea of a silent scream, of a scream that's in the heart, but you don't know how to put into words. So the Keren Ora is saying is that's what's happening over here. There's some sort of a scream from the heart, a piercing cry, but nothing that's clear. So he says, V'zeh yesh lo yakuz god leitz Hashem Yisbarach. The Keren Ora writes that this is very precious in Hashem's eyes. U'chein kol shofar shu kol pashut. It's like the sound of a shofar that's a simple sound. It doesn't have words, it's not a tefillah, it's not clear. It's a scream like the shofar. And the shofar, that simple cry of the shofar is very, very, very powerful. Aval dibur tefillah hayu b'kochem la'otzi mishum d'malchus b'chines dibur hayu b'galus. That's the Keren Ora. Following the teachings of his Rebbe, Reb Tzadik from Lublin, the Keren Ora says there was a scream in the heart. There was a yell, there was a cry, but there couldn't yet be a tefillah, because Malchus, the quality of the kingdom, we'll talk about that in Yetzir Hashem, Malchus, which is Dibur, which is speech, was in Galus. This is the problem. I mean, this is the scene at the beginning of Sefer Shmos. When you look into this Indian, you see that there are basically three approaches, three ways to understand Golos HaDibur. We have to go through that tonight. Three ways to understand Golos HaDibur. And then next time we'll discuss the nature of the kol, the sound, the voice of Moshe. And we join together the voice and Dibur, then we come to Tefillah. The first way to understand Golos HaDibur, I think you're best summed up in a famous saying in the name of Reb Chaim Soloveitchik. The name of Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim said that a person should never say, I understand the pshat, I understand this, I'm just not able to explain it. Reb Chaim said that one should never say such a thing. I understand this, but I can't explain it. If you can't explain it, it's a simon that you don't yet understand it. If you can't explain something, unless God forbid there's a problem, but if you can't explain something, it's a simon that you don't really understand it. If you really understand something, you can explain it to someone else. So let me try to explain that. If I understand it, it should come out clearly. In a few minutes you need that. You don't need that. Lakut Amaran, the Rebbe of Nachum from Breslov. Rebbe Nachum says in the 56th Torah, Ki Dibur hu esgolos adas. Dibur, speaking, reveals one's thoughts, reveals a person's das. That's the purpose of speech, to reveal your feelings and your thoughts. Kamashakosov Mipiv Das Usvuna. It says in Mishlei, in the second chapter, Mipiv, from the mouth will come forth Da'at Utvuna, Das Usvuna, intelligence and insight. Uba Mitzrayim, Rabbi Nachman writes, Uba Mitzrayim Shohaya Das Begolas. We know that in Mitzrayim, Chazal tell us that Das, awareness, holy awareness, true understanding was in a state of galus, in a state of exile. Kama Shekosev, as it says, Ushmi Hashem lo nodati lohem. My name, Hashem, was not known to them. I didn't make known. The inability of the Jewish people in Mitzrayim to enter into the deeper realm of their own consciousness and to understand and to see the hand of Hashem in all things and to believe properly in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that inability is called Golas Adas. Gam Hadibur Begolas. Therefore, Ibn Ahmed says, when Das is in Golas, so some people have asked me this. One of the fellows in the school asked me, but he says, Rebbe, you were talking for weeks that Das was in Galus in Mitzrayim, the Das, Seichel. And now all you're talking about is that Dibur is in Galus. So what's going on? So Nachman, of course, is saying that if speech is in Galus, it's because Das is in Galus. That's the result of Galus Hadas. When awareness is in exile, Mimela Dibur is in exile. Bechinas kvad peo kvad lashon, and this is manifest in Moshe Rabbeinu's inability to communicate, the heaviness of his mouth and his tongue, because Moshe Rabbeinu is the embodiment of das. Every tzaddik, you should know, Avraham Avinu is chesed and so on, Yitzchak is gevura. Moshe Rabbeinu is the quality of das, of awareness, of understanding. And Moshe Rabbeinu can't speak. This is amazing. The Moshe Rabbeinu, the one who embodies the koach of das, cannot communicate. Uchsheyotzu Mitzrayim, sheyotzu hadas me'agolus yotzev and niftach hadibur. When the Jewish people left Mitzrayim, when they were able to leave Mitzrayim, then Dibur's speech was freed from its exile. Then what took place was the Geulas HaDibur. As I mentioned, that's why Pesach is called Pesach, the mouth that can speak. As opposed to Paro, which is Pera. Pesach is Pesach. So let's understand what Rabbi Nachman is saying. Golus Adibur doesn't mean that the person doesn't understand something in the Seichel. There is a level of understanding. There's a dispersion of thought. There's an inner Golus. The mind is in a state of Golus. What that means, that a person has certain concepts. Sometimes it's happened that you've been to a lecture or you've taken a course somewhere and you have a lot of notes and a lot of information. But stimpness, it doesn't go. It doesn't work out. It doesn't work out. I mean, you could say over every sentence. You could repeat what the professor or the rav or the Rebbetzin said. You could say over that specific part of the lecture, and you could say it perfectly. But there's a dispersion. It's not, something is missing in the clarity. There's something that hasn't been crystallized. This is called in the Svarim Pizur HaNefesh. In other words, sometimes you're looking for what Rav Kook would call the Milah HaGoelet, the redeeming word. What does it mean, the redeeming word? Like the clincher. You can't say it over. Because there's a certain concept in your mind that you don't quite understand clearly. There's something that's unclear. There's a certain vagueness. You could say this, you could say this, you could say that. But you can't put it together. You can't formulate a concept. You can't formulate a clear, crystallized thought. The this is because the Jewish people in Mitzrayim had fallen into the 49 levels of Tumah, of impurity. And Chazal have taught us that the word Tumah is connected to the word Timtum. Timtum means a dulling of the senses. Timtum HaMoach. That if the Gemara says that if a person eats tarfas, if a person eats non-kosher food, it brings about a timtum, hamoach. It causes a lack of clarity. It shuts things up. It generates a sort of a vagueness, a dispersion of thinking. Timtum halev, timtum hamoach means that a person is capable of very deep thought. There's a brilliant person, but there's something that's not going. Ever happened? You knew the information. You sat down to an exam. What they say, my mind went blank. Or you're trying to write something, you're trying to say something, and it's not going. And there are other times when you're not concentrating, and there's a flow of consciousness and in speech and in writing. So since the Jewish people had fallen into the 49 levels of impurity, there was this vagueness, this bilbul, this confusion of thought. And things were not clear, particularly the ideal of redemption, the belief that there's a way out. Chazal say that it was impossible for a slave to escape, to leave Egypt. It was impossible to get out of Egypt. It's not true. How do you know that's not true? Because B'nai Israel left Mitzrayim. So what does it mean it's impossible to leave Egypt? So the person doesn't see things as clearly as he should, and was lacking in the das and the amunah and the clarity of Hashgachas Hashem. So how does this affect speech? So that's what Reb Chaim was saying. That if the idea is not perfectly clear in one's mind, if there's a bilbul, there's a confusion, then it has to show up in Dibur. Why? So the Karen Ora had said, because Dibur, I mean, that's in the Zohar, the Dibur is Malchus. That's why the Torah Shabbat Peh is called Malchus. What does Malchus mean? Without any Kabbalah. There is a hierarchy of Kochot, of Koichus in the universe that you know through which Hashem runs the world. Right? And the last one is L'cha Hashem HaMamlocha. Mamlocha, Malchus, is also called the Shechina. It's the same thing. Malchus is that last stop. Malchus is the crossroads between heaven and earth. It's where the Baruch Shalom, it's where the higher world Kivyachol ends and the lower world begins. That place is called Malchus. It's the last stage before the physical world. That's called Malchus. On a very, very simplistic level, that's called Malchus. In human being, also, there are the 10 Kochos HaNefesh. There are different Kochos. Chachma, Bina, Das, Chesed, Gvur, Teferis, the intellectual Kochos of a person. Chachma, Bina, Das, right? Chabad. The emotional Kaiches of a person, chagas, chesed, gvur, and teferis, the ability to love, the ability to fear, the ability to bring these emotions together, chagas, then nesachod yisod. Malchus means my ability to take thoughts and feelings and to bring them into the physical world. That's Malchus. Bidvar melech shultan. We spoke about this. That's why speaking means to lead. It means to convince. It means to guide. Because I take thoughts and feelings that were hidden. Malchus means the transition from something which is spiritual to something which is physical. So the transition from the spiritual to the physical takes place through Malchus. The quality of the human being that stands between the physical and the spiritual, we already spent a great deal of time learning, is speaking. Because speaking is Ruach, remember? Ruach stands between Neshama, which is the spiritual, and Nefesh, which is involving the physical. Ruach HaPeh is the power to speak. Speaking is that demarcation point between that heavenly, transcendent part of the human being, Chabad, Chagas, thoughts and feelings, and the lower actions of physical life. So the trading post, the crossroads, that's Dibur. Therefore, Dibur is called Malchus. And in Egypt, the Malchus of Hashem was in Golus, was in exile. If a Dibur was in Golus, which means I might have thoughts. There are certain thoughts, confusing concepts and thoughts rolling around in my brain, but I can't make them known to anybody. It's not coming out clearly. Or in the words of the Yeshiva Bachar Rebbe, I understand, but I can't explain. And the meaning of I understand, but I can't explain, Reb Chaim says, if you would truly understand, you'd be able to explain, is that when there's absolute clarity, conceptual clarity, then it will emerge in a healthy, proper malchus, in words that are clear. So if the words can't be articulated, it's a simen, it's a sign, that Sheltepis, something is missing in the clarity of Chabad, Chagas, and the other things up above, so that there's something wrong, it doesn't come out, and the Malchus is not standing properly. The Malchus, something is wrong in Malchus. So the inability of a person to translate his deeper feelings into words and actions, deeper feelings, the Shemayim part of himself, to translate that Shemayim, that transcendent deeper part of himself, into Lemaise, into his life, into words, into actions, that's called Golas HaDibur. That's called Golas HaDibur. That something is missing in the person's communication with his or her deeper self. Something's missing. The Shem Shmuel of Shmuel Sachshava describes this situation as a medaber velibo balimo, a person who speaks but not with his heart. How are you doing, sweetheart? I love you, you're the greatest. You know, the way people talk. You know how people talk on those shows and the interviews? You know, it's, everything comes out so beautiful. Everybody says the right word. Yeah, that's the right word. That's not dram hayotzim and halev. The Shem Shmuel says Golas HaDibur means that it doesn't mean that a person is not saying beautiful things. You can say beautiful things. It comes out very nice. You make speeches. It means that there's a separation between the Koach HaDibur and the heart. Remember, the Ruach comes from the heart. Right? The Neshama is connected to the mind. Nefesh is connected to the liver. And Ruach is the heart. When a person speaks, maybe that's the expression, it's a lot of hot air. I mean, there's a lot of ruach. And it's very warm ruach. It sounds nice. It's very warm. The words are very, very warm. Nice words. But they're not coming. They're not connected to the heart. The heart is where the ruach should be coming from. Ruach comes from the heart. And it's supposed to emerge in heartfelt, warm, good, encouraging words. So when a person speaks in a way, the Sachet Shavu writes, when a person speaks in a way where the words are not heartsige words, they're not filled with heart. There's a separation between what I'm feeling and what I'm saying. This, the Shem Shmuel says, the deeper meaning of when Moshe Rabbeinu says that, look, the Jewish people, when it says in the Torah that the Jewish people are not able to listen to Moshe, why? Mikotzer ruach, because they were short of breath. Kotzer ruach, they were lacking in ruach. Ruach means the quality of Dibur, means the quality to connect one's words with one's feelings. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu was speaking, but people were not listening. And Kivyachol, the Shem Shmuel, is saying that Moshe Rabbeinu was not able to give forth words that are coming from the deepest part of himself. So the meaning here is that the Tzaddik has the deepest thoughts. Moshe Rabbeinu has deep thoughts. The thoughts are somewhat confused because there's this golus, there's this horrible exile. And that comes out in words that are not connected to the deeper part of oneself, words that are more superficial, words that are not hitting the target. Words that are not, if they would be words that, if the golus of Das would be completed, then the words would come from that place of the lave and would hit the target. Therefore, Pesach night, the mitzvah is to speak to the children. And there the Torah says, V'higadah levincha b'yoyma huleymar v'higadato. Haggadah, the word haggadah doesn't just mean to speak, it means to draw. Chazal say. It means to draw, to implore, to pull, to... V'higadah levincha, the tikkun, in other words, when we left Mitzrayim, so Pesach night, which is the night of speaking, kol amar b'lesaper, we have this desire to speak a great deal on Pesach night. So there's a mitzvah, v'higadah levincha, because the correction of that situation of galus hadibur, of the inability to make this connection between the inner self and the words that I'm speaking and the things that I'm doing, the correction of that is Pesach night. The geulus hadibur, the redemption of speech, is Pesach night. Therefore, the mitzvah of Pesach night is v'higadah levincha. Tell the children hartzige things, heartful words, words dvar ma'moshchem es alev hagodah, things that pull their hearts. It truly astounds me how people sit Pesach night. I'll now have the children come and tell the parents, because they come over the books and loose leaves and nope, you know, it's very cute, but there's a mitzvah to tell the children, right? So you have some fathers, they should all be well, that they'll prepare for like a week or two in advance, like all these kashes and diukim and vertlach and haggadah. And you can go the whole Pesach night, two nights, saying over fancy, you know, the gross is like this, the chassam service is like that, and all kinds of diukim and toiris and halachas, and the children sit there. They don't. In other words, the tachlis is, talk to the children. Vertlach is beautiful. So they stay up till the morning with the adults. You want to say over Vertlach, toiris? Who would say that learning toiris is the most wonderful thing in the world? But the higadah levincha means lift the children up, you know. Tell them midrashim, tell them stories about Yetzias Mitzrayim, describe to them how the Baruch Shalom loves us and how he took every single Jew out, and each little Jew was taken in his own way through the Yam Suf, and the Baruch Shalom gave us things by Yam Suf to eat. And he tell things that the children can understand and lift them up. In other words, the Golas at Dibur, you could sit there the whole night saying over Reb Chaims and Vilna Goyims and the Dibur is in Golas. Because it's not things that are coming from the heart, they're fancy vertlach. Then have a million haggadahs, all the fancy vertlach. And believe me, I'm not God for putting down not the haggadahs chalila, and not the people who are saying over the Torahs. But the mitzvah of Pesach night is what? To speak to the family in such a way that they could feel like they're leaving Mitzrayim. When the Baal Shem HaKadosh, the Talmid Baal Shem, they say that when the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh used to lane Kriyas Amsov, then the Besmedrash, they used to lift up the bottom of their coats, they were afraid to get wet. They felt that they were going through, they were walking into the Amsov, they would lift up the Bekishes. That's what it means to talk to a child, to make him feel, and then that's why you see by the Svadim, they have been hugging, they mamash get up, like they put the Peklach on their shoulders, right? They make like they're leaving Mitzrayim, the Svadim. They physically, Chayav Olam Leiris Hatzim Kiliyotzim Mitzrayim, they physically go through the motions of Yitzhak, that the children, not the children, we should feel, because true Dibur, words that come from the heart, from the deepest place, where there's a communication of the self, when that deepest self is coming out in what you're saying, you can mamish, it's like someone paints with words. You could see it. You could see it with your eyes. So if you got levincha, vigadcha levincha means to speak in a way that no doubt can be left about how HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim. And that's not going to happen by saying over 14 questions on why did it say in the pasuk v'igad lebincha b'yomahu, and why does it say b'yomahu, and some place else says b'yomahi, and the third place says b'yomahem. So you tell the children because there's a chilu between ahu, ahem, and he. So what does it do? It's gevaldik to learn is gevaldik. But lemaisa v'igad lebincha, v'igad lebincha is mahatze gevertlach. Things that inspire, things that take, and to make a person feel that the Baruch Shalom will take us out of Mitzrayim now also, and every Jew goes to his Mitzrayim, and to know that the Baruch Shalom loves you like he loved our ancestors. You know, if you just translate the words in English and say them over with your heart, that itself is good. Just to say the words over. Everybody's making all kinds of hachonis preparations, and listening to tapes and watching videos, and you know, to get ready for Pesach. Because the... just mean what you say. I think the best way to understand this, You should have a photostat of something from the Oros HaKodesh from Rav Kook. You don't have here. And I beg your forgiveness and this tzaddik's forgiveness for not being able to adequately translate the words. If we speak about a person who was the master of exalted dibur, of exalted speech, it has to be Rav Kook. Kidua Rav Kook did not write over anything that he put onto paper. It was mamish, his dibur straight onto the paper. He never edited or rewrote anything that he just put it right onto the paper and he never looked at it again. He put it on the side and then the students or his son would transcribe it. He refused to chazar over something and to rewrite it. It was a straight from the mind and the heart onto the paper. I once learned this with a couple of years ago. We were talking about this thing of Golas HaDibur, so be a little chazara. The Novi Yecheskel, this is called Bakoshas HaAni HaAtzmi, the search for I, for the self, for the true self. The Novi Yecheskel said, Va'ani B'soch HaGola, and I am in the exile. So it doesn't mean that Yecheskel is telling us that where he lived. He lived in Bavel. Everybody knows where Yecheskel lived. It's not telling us his address. So what does it mean, V'ani b'saych ha-goyla? So Rav Kook writes, it's how beautiful, every word. Ha'ani ha-pnimi ha-atzmi, the deeper meaning, this is an existential comment that Rav Yecheskel. The I, the inner, and true I is in Golas. Shal ha-yochid v'shal ha-tzibur, not just of myself, but of the tzibur, of the community of Israel, of Knesset Yisrael. Einu mezgala b'tochiyuso. It's not being revealed. It's not coming forth. It's not emerging. Rak l'fi erach ha-kedusha v'atar shalo. It's not coming out in accordance to its true holiness and purity. L'fi erach ha-gevur ha-elyon. It's not emerging in accordance in measure to its great divine strength, hasvuga, that is saturated, that truthfully the inner self of the Jewish person and the inner self of the Jewish people is saturated. Look at the word, is svuga, is saturated with the pure light, shall ziv mila, of the shining light of above. She mislahevis bikirbo, that is on flame within the Jewish people. So he says, Chatanu Mabul Seinu, we have sinned together with our forefathers. The sin, Chet Adam Arishon, this is the sin of Adam Arishon. Our sin now is the sin of Adam Arishon. Shenisnak Elatzmi Yuso, because the sin of Adam Arishon is that he alienated himself from the deeper Atzmi, he became a stranger to himself. Hisnak Elatzmi Yuso means he became a stranger to the deeper self. Instead of listening to the inner voice, to the ani, he listened to the voice on the outside that is the snake. For over this atzmon, and by listening to the snake, he lost himself. Therefore, lo yada lahashiv tshuva brura al sheila sayeka. So when Hashem asked him, "Where are you?" So we already know that the tzaddikim have taught that the question, "Where are you?" is not, "What's your address?" Hashem knows where everybody lives. The question Ayek is to every single Jew, as the Baal Tanya said when he was in jail, when he said to that person, the guy who asked him, the jail keeper, what does it mean, the question Ayek? And the Tanya asked him, do you really truthfully believe in Hashem? Do you believe in God? And the guy said, yes. So the Tanya said, you should know that the question Ayek is not, where are you? Where are you staying? Where are you hiding? Ayek really means, where is the you? Where is the you that I knew when you were a child? Where is the deeper self? Where is the true, honest, authentic self? That's what Hashem asks everybody at every moment of his life, Ayeka. Therefore, Adam Rishon couldn't answer that question clearly. That's Golas HaDibur. He couldn't find the redeeming word. The redeeming word means the word from the inner self. Mibnei Shaloyod HaNafsha. He became a stranger to his own soul. There are people that can go mamish years and years and years without ever, ever coming to that place of the self. Because the true self, the true ani, was lost to him. Because of the sin that he worshipped a foreign god. The worshipping of a foreign god means worshipping any voice other than your own. Listening to someone else's voice. That doesn't mean you shouldn't be obedient to listen to tzaddikim and parents and so on. Of course not. To good advice. But it means trying to be somebody else. Listening to something that's not authentic. Trying to be someone else. Instead of understanding who you are. Chet Yisrael is the sin of the Jewish people now also. That's what it means. This is the deeper meaning that we have strayed and followed foreign gods. It doesn't mean, so now we don't do that. So nobody's going after Baal and all these other things. We're not following over the Zara. But anytime you follow something that's not from the deeper self, and you're listening to something which is not really you, and you're not true to yourself, so that's following a foreign god. Therefore, the Yetzirah, the Gemara says, the Yetzirah is called El Zar, the foreign god. The Yetzirah is called, because the Yetzirah is not the Pnimi, it's not the inwardness of who you are. The Yetzirah is the other side, the other voice. Therefore, we've abandoned the goodness of our own selves. This was the sin, as we've spoken about before, the sin of the earth. Then on the third day of creation, the earth was told to produce trees that would have the same taste as the fruit, and the earth didn't listen. The earth produced trees, and the trees did not have the same taste as the fruit. And the meaning of that is that the earth wasn't true to itself. The earth made trees that would taste different than the fruit. The fruit means that all the human being wants is the final, something, the final ideal, the final goal. And you forget the means and the inner struggle and the steps that are leading to that final tachlis. A person ignores the tree that brings the fruit, meaning the deeper part of myself that brings to these outcomes of my life. So this is also a Lanosna, therefore, Lanosna is called Chelo Akamus Lias Tam Eitz Katam Perio. The earth really does have the power to produce trees that taste as good as the fruit, the same as the fruit. It means that the person himself does have the inner powers. What's happening in Bereishis is that the entire world is sort of empathizing with the frailty of the human being to come to his deeper self. And these are things that are built into creation, problems. Nasa Ayin Michutzla. The earth was looking outside of herself. Lachshav al dvar gorolos v'kareiros, which means the earth was looking, kararius, the earth was looking outside of itself to find something more glamorous. The fruit's very glamorous. Who wants trees? Trees are not glamorous. The earth did not want to deal with trees. The earth wanted to have fruit. Fruit is glamorous. Same thing, Kitrigai Yerech, this is the sin of the moon. Of the Siva Pnimiusa, the moon lost its own inner axis, Simchas Chalka, therefore she was no longer happy with her Chalak, she wanted to be like the sun and bigger than the sun, so there shouldn't be a sun, right? That's the sin of the moon. Chalmal Dvar Hadras Malachim Chitzauna, the moon had all kinds of dreams of the glory of the kingdom and being powerful and strong. And the world is drowning and wandering and lost. The self of each person is in galus. Now listen how he ends. He says, I have seen very intelligent educators, people that know a lot. And even though they know a lot, they have a lot of information, they look at the world in a superficial way, and they look at their students in a superficial way. And they turn their attention away from the self, meaning of their children, of the students. And they throw more straw into the fire. And they give those who are thirsty vinegar to drink instead of water. That's what I'm talking about, the fancy verdlach on Pesach night. Educators who have a ton of information and they fatten the minds and the hearts of the children with things that are foreign to the children, that are not helping them come to themselves to understand their deeper selves, that are extraneous, that are beyond their own, that are beyond the Ani, that are not connecting to the Ani, memorize and learn and information without ever touching a deeper place. And the Ani of the child is forgotten. And once the Ani is forgotten, once the child doesn't know the I, then ain who, then there is no God. And he forgets him. If there is no Ani, then there is no who. Take a walk down Central Avenue and see all the kids in Nebuch with the yarmulkes, the boyfriends and girlfriends, and all the kids that went to yeshivas in Nebuch. And not just on Central Avenue. The yeshivas everywhere. Shem Shabbos. I'm not talking about people that didn't learn Torah. The Torah was never came to the Ani. And if there's no Ani, you can go your whole life, you keep Shabbos. You're not going to keep Shabbos? Suicidal, you're not. So you keep Shabbos. But the Ani, with feeling, with caring. Because the Mechanchim are saying over blot after blot and Gemara is so wonderful. But you have to talk to the children to give a child a sense of the Ani, each child and a parent also, to give a child, to uplift, to inspire, to come to the deeper self, to understand what does this child need. And if there is no who, then certainly there is no ata. You see, who is Hashem in the third person? From a distance, who? But if there's no who, then there certainly is no, you can't relate to Hashem even from a distance, then there certainly is no ata. In other words, if the children, when they're growing up, they don't have the minimal amount of Yerushalayim. Look at the kinds of movies and books and Narishkeit and how they're going out and what's happening in among shrum people. Look what's going on. So there's not even Yerushalayim. That's who. I mean, there's not even a fear of him. A fear of him. So you expect that there should be an ata? That these children should be able to speak to Hashem like a child would speak to a parent? So why should they? There's no who, there's no ata. Why? Because there's no ani. If there's no ani, there's no who, and there's no ata. Ruach HaPeinu Mashiach Hashem. The breath of our nostrils, of our lives, the ruach, who's Mashiach, that's dibur. Mashiach means Masiach. The word Mashiach means to speak. The word Mashiach comes from the word Sicha, the one who can speak. Zeu Gvaraso, Hadar Godlo, this is his power and his greatness. And Nenimu Mechutz Lanu, Mashiach is not outside of ourselves. Yeah, there'll be a human being, Hashem should send him quickly, Mashiach Apeinu, Ruach Apeinu, Mashiach Tzikeinu, he should come. But there's that quality of Mashiach within oneself, Ruach Apeinu Hu. As Hashem Elokeinu and David Malkeinu nevakesh. Let's seek Hashem Elokeinu and David Malkeinu. El Hashem v'al tuvay nevakei, des ani shalom nevakesh. As ani shalom nevakesh, the inner self, that's called Mashiach. That's why it says in the pasuk Al tigu b'mashiach, I don't touch my anointed ones. Chazal say elu tinokas shel beis rabbi. The Gemara says these are the children in cheder. Don't touch my little Mashiachs. Every Jewish child is called a Mashiach. Why? Because children still know the ani. Children are still in touch with the ani. Children will tell you if they want something, they say I want it. Until we teach them not to say what they want, right? So adults go their whole lives kicking and screaming and hating everybody because they're not allowed to say, I want this. Children just say, I want it. So therefore, children are called Mashiach. Es ani shalom nevakesh, es atzmeinu nevakesh v'nimtza. We must seek and find ourselves. Haser kol alehei necha, let's get rid of all these foreign gods. Haser kol zar mamza, let's get rid of all these this foreignness. V'yedatem ki ani Hashem Elokeichem hamotzi eschem me'eretz Yitzrayim l'yos lochem l'lokim ani Hashem. That I am Hashem who is taking you out of Mitzrayim to be your God. Ani Hashem. Therefore, let's finish this up now. This is the meaning of the Golus HaDibur, and that this first explanation of Golus HaDibur is the Golus of the self, of the Ani, that there are thoughts and things, there are feelings there, but I'm not in touch with them. Therefore, the term that Hashem gave to Moshe Rabbeinu, when Moshe said, well, they're going to ask you, who sent, they're going to say, ask me, who sent you? So what did he say the name? Ekya Asher Ekya. Right? Ekya? Aleph Hey Yud Hey Asher Aleph Hey Yud Hey. Right? I am that I am. Those are the words of Gula. You hear this? I am that I am. Those are the words of redemption. I am that I am. Meaning, redemption is always I am that I am. Understanding the I. That's what the Tanya explains. That in the Zohar it says, on those words, Ekya Asher Ekya, the Zohar says, Zaman La'olda. I am prepared to be born. That's what the Zohar says. I am that I am means I am prepared to be born. I want to be born. That's why Golus is described as a woman in labor and there's like a hard time the child is not able to be born. That's how Golus is described. Chevle Mashiach, the labor pains of the days before Mashiach. Ki cholo gam yolda tzion es beno. Says Kibo Bonim Ad Mashber Vekach Ein Lalaida, the Navi says that we have come to the Mashber, to the birth stool, and there's no Koach to give birth. That means that I have feelings, I have thoughts, but I have no Koach to say them and to do them. It's not coming out. I'm not able to speak. And the Ani is in Golus. That's what it means. The Jewish people in Golus are described as standing at their birth stool and forever. Have feeling this pain and not being able to give birth to the Ani, to the self. That's why the Tzemach Tzedek, the Baal Tanya's grandson, explained that according to the Arizal, the Korban Pesach was Davka roasted, Rosh Al-Krav was roasted like a fetus. It had to be that its head was put together with its knees, like a fetus. That's what it says in the Kisveri. That's the way, that's the halacha, that's how the Korban Pesach was roasted. Why? To show that the moment before Gula, the moment before redemption, the Jewish people were like a fetus that was waiting to be born. That's what Golus means. Atat. It's on the tip of my tongue. That's Golus. That's Golus Adi. It's on the tip of my tongue. I have it there somehow it's there, but I can't quite come to that place of the Ani. This is the first explanation of what Golus HaDibur means. I hope it was clear. Mr. Shem, next time we'll go through the other two are much faster. So we'll work on the other two explanations of Golus HaDibur.